Let's get out to the Score Hotline, brought to you by Cube Sports Bar inside Rivers Casino. Join the fun at Cube for college basketball action. And there we find Matt Bowen, he of the Chicago Tribune, of course, the National Football Post, nfpost.com. Matt, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great, guys. What's going on?
Well, you know, I'm just curious. We've gotten, every time we've tried to talk about Brandon Marshall, people just kind of tell you you're an idiot and the guy's a great player. And I understand he's a great player, but he's also a young guy that is going to be on his third team here. And it's not often you see a three-time Pro Bowler kind of bounce around the league. And it really speaks to character concerns as much as anything else. And how do you feel about a general manager coming out and making his first pick, which ends up being a signature move, the statement pick, if you will, and using it to trade for a guy that has a bit of a checkered past and has an incident over the weekend? What are your thoughts on Brandon Marshall?
Well, I think it kind of proves or confirms what everyone already knows, is that, you know, the character talk in the NFL, I've never agreed with it, because talent always wins. I mean, just what you're saying right here, Mike. Brandon Marshall, why has he been on three teams? Because he has issues. But he keeps getting that next chance, that next opportunity. And the reason he does is because he is a number one wide receiver, because he can be press man, because he can be cover two, et cetera, et cetera. This is the type of guy, when you put him on the field, opposing defensive backs have to worry about him all week. And it gets to a point where this guy is so talented that you'll put a different color jersey on the player representing him on the scout team. You have to know where he is at all times on the field. But with that comes a lot of risk, a lot of risk. And I know that, you know, the new Bears GM, Phil Emery, when he came out in his initial press conference, says he values character. But then he goes and makes this move. It just goes back to what I've always believed and what I saw during my career. The best guys get the best, most opportunities no matter what type of issues they have off the field.
So now you got Brandon Marshall, you got Jeremy Bates, you got Jay Cutler, and Jay was talking yesterday and saying, well, we still got more things to do. We still need other pieces, talking about the offense. And by the way, we're going to put in some of the old offense we ran out in Denver. How much has Mike Tice got to say about any of this? Is it Jeremy and Jay running the offensive show here?
No, I would hope that Mike Tice is still going to run the offensive show, because he is the offensive coordinator. We've talked about this before, though. When Jay gets to number one, he has to have more flexibility within the offense. He needs to be able to go to the line of scrimmage and say, look, I got Brandon Marshall in a one-on-one situation. We're at the 35-yard line. I could take a shot here at the end zone. I think those type of opportunities have to be built into the offense, but it still has to be Coach Tice's show. It's got to be run the ball first. Establish a line of scrimmage, use deep play action. That's why you go get a guy like Brandon Marshall. And then they re-signed Kellen Davis last night. I don't know what Kellen Davis can do, because, you know, last year he was just used as a blocking tight end. But when you add Brandon Marshall, that opens up the middle of the field. And that's another reason you'll get, legitimate data to say, okay, let's try to work the ball in the middle of the field now. Let's use the tight end. Let's use Forte. But in your back pocket, you always have the relationship with the quarterback and the wide receiver. And it gets to a point where they can run their own little show during the game and take some chances.
What was your thought on the whole Mario Williams thing, this idea? And I know he's still available, but this idea that the Bears were somehow the favorites for him and they were going to spend the money on that. I mean, what we've seen thus far anyway is a whole lot of offensive players coming through town and getting signed thus far, be it a backup quarterback, be it another running back coming into town. They got a guard up there yesterday. And I'm all for doing all that stuff. You know, you need a lot of that offensive help, but your take on that particular story?
Well, I mean, from an X's and O's perspective, it would be a great pickup.
Yep.
Obviously, it would not be cheap. Mm-hmm. I think Mario Williams, I don't know if he's ever going to leave Buffalo. I think he's still there. He's probably going to be the highest paid defensive player of all time. That's the type of money he's going to command. But if you're looking at it from the perspective of, if you were to be in Chicago, you have Julius Peppers on one side and Mario Williams on the other.
Oh.
You could play whatever you want in the secondary.
I mean, it would extend Peppers' career. It would extend the careers of – I mean, it would save you another year on that defense. It would really buy you more time.
No, and every state in the NFL would want to come here.
Yeah.
Because you could take risk in the secondary. You can say, all right, I can play at 18 yards. I don't even have to backpedal because the ball's going to have to come out. So I'm going to sit on these square end routes, sit on the post. I'm going to get big hits. I'm going to get interceptions because I have the two top five pass rushers on my team, yeah, it'd be a great thing. I mean, it'd be really – and plus, Mike, look at who they play in the division.
Sure.
I mean, if you want to win this division, yeah, obviously adding Brandon Marshall to go against those secondaries in Green Bay and Detroit is a big move. But at the end of the day, you have to stop, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Matthew Stafford. That's why you would go get a defensive end like that. And if they don't get them, you know, they're going to have to look to the draft.
I guess, Matt, as you sit here and you look at what they've done thus far, I mean, it's there's a lot of holes that need filling, and they've been very aggressive about getting some work done. How does that change the draft? How does it change what you're thinking about with the first-round pick? Everybody was talking wide receiver. Does that shift and change now that that you got Brandon Marshall, or do you have to wait and see whether he's going to be available to you?
Well, you know, I still think you look at wide receiver, even with Brandon Marshall. Maybe it's not at number 19, but sure, throughout the rest of the draft, you still have opportunities to build depth, get one of those mid-round picks that can come in, maybe not be a complete impact player in week one, but someone that can contribute throughout the season. But if Mario Williams isn't coming, if they don't get a veteran DN, then you have to look at defense, too, at number 19. You look at a guy like Whitney Merciless from Illinois. He's a pass rusher. I mean, that's what sells right now. It's not a very deep class at defensive end. It's a very deep class at corner. That's another opportunity. I know they re-signed Tim Jennings. I like Tim Jennings. I think he's one of the toughest football players on that team. But you also have to create some competition for him. You can't hand out jobs anymore. So maybe you go get a rookie corner and say, look, you could compete with the veteran, best player gets on the field.
You know, Matt, I've heard this more than a couple times over the last 48 hours or so, or at least the last 24 hours, that Matt Forte could hold out. Now, He just got tagged, and he didn't want to get tagged, but still $7.7 million, and that's $7.2 more than he was making last year.
Right.
To what end? I mean, I don't understand what sitting out for, you know, six games at maximum, whatever it is, you know, serves his purpose at this point.
I don't either. I mean, it's getting, like you said, it's getting just under $8 million to carry the football. You know, a lot of times players look at the franchise deal. A franchise tag is a bad deal. It's a great deal. You get $8 million to carry the ball, it's not bad. Yes, I understand the security. Every player wants the security, and that's understandable because they want it to be reflected by the team that they're part of the future. But when you play running back, it's a different ball game. And I've told you guys before, those three-yard gains inside the holes, those are like car accidents, and those add up over time. So if they do franchise them and make them prove it again, hey, sometimes that's life, okay? Sometimes that's life. And I don't think he should hold out. I think he's got a good deal. He's going to see the ball a lot. He's going to get plenty of touches. He should be very productive in this offense. And then maybe he gets his payday next season.
You know, I don't think any of us doubt that they would have made the playoffs last year if it wasn't for the injury to the quarterback. Are they a playoff team, given this move here with the wide receiver, given some of the things they're trying to get done?
I think they still have to add a pass rusher. They still have to add a pass rusher because they want to play cover two against Rodgers and Stafford. You got to get after the quarterback. And if you can't with your front four, that means you have to pressure. And pressuring Aaron Rodgers right now is a mistake. He's too good. He's too good at getting the ball out of his hands. He's got plenty of weapons to work with. And if you don't have the secondary top to bottom to match up with Jennings, Nelson, Finley, et cetera, over there, you're in trouble. You want to be able to force Aaron Rodgers to say, okay, you could throw 12 slant routes if you want to get down the field, but we guarantee you won't do that for four quarters. You're going to take a shot. You're going to push the envelope a little too far, and we're going to make a plan. But you can only do that if you have four guys that can rush. So I think if they add a pass rusher, yeah, you have to consider them as a playoff team.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you.